Normally on a Sunday morning, I'm preaching to you, my television congregation, from the pulpit of Second Presbyterian Church. But as you know, this past week we have faced one of the greatest crises in American history. And I thought it might be useful for you and me to gather for a few moments around the Word of God. And I suppose we could just call this a pastoral chat with my friends who watch us regularly on television. I want to say, first of all, as an American citizen, that I, along with you and people all across the country and around the world, as a matter of fact, am deeply grieved and share in the bereavement of those who have lost brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, children and grandchildren in the disasters in New York City and Washington, D.C. It has been amazing to me how many of our friends from around the world, our missionaries, and those with whom we work around the world have written us this week to say how deeply grieved they are for us and encouraging us in the Lord to carry on and to look to the Lord for strength. This has been a tremendous shock to our country to see our own nation invaded from outsiders and using our own equipment to do so, to imagine that the largest commercial buildings in our country could be brought down with a weapon, a knife, and a letter opener, and be done with our own airplanes, killing our own people. It's absolutely staggering in its breadth and depth of tragedy. Dear friends, I sincerely believe the Bible has something to say very important about this tragedy, and that's what I wanted to share with you today. It seems to me that there are at least four things that we ought to keep in mind and ought to ask the Lord to help us with during these days. And the first thing I'd like to mention is this, that we are called upon, not only by our president, but by the Lord himself, to grieve with those who grieve, to rejoice with those who rejoice, to pray for the comfort of those who need comfort. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." One of the psalms that has always been very precious to me, that seems to me to speak so clearly to the situation that our nation now finds ourselves in, is Psalm 46, a psalm that Martin Luther obviously loved, and from which he crafted that great hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." Listen to these words of this psalm. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Dear friends, it's during disasters, and this is one of the greatest ever. We may have lost more people than on D-Day, and more people than on December the 7th, 1941, with Pearl Harbor. It is a great disaster, but our God has not changed, and he is still our fortress, our refuge, and our strength. And the psalmist calls upon us to trust in him. Trust in him for those who are bereaved, and pray for their comfort. Secondly, dear friends, it seems so obvious from the Scriptures that we must be the people who are praying for our president and for all of our leaders in this country. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. My dear friends, this is not an accident from God's perspective. He is the sovereign Lord of history, and He is designing all things that men and women, boys and girls from all over the world may come to Him. He wants us to live peaceful and quiet lives so that the cause of the kingdom is advanced through all the world. That's the great mission of the church. And what we want to pray for is for our president to be wise and to promote peace around the world through proper response to this disaster. I'm so thankful for our president. And we are a blessed people to have a government and order and peace such that we have. And our president and vice president and the secretaries of state and defense and the advisors that are closest to the president, as well as our Congress, have shown tremendous judgment in these recent days. And I'm very, very thankful. And for some of our young people who may not have ever experienced or thought something like this were even possible in our country, let me remind you that some of your grandparents fought in a worldwide war for the purpose of freedom and justice. And some of your fathers and mothers may have fought in Vietnam or even in Korea. I just want to remind you that our entire history as Americans has involved conflict. And we have been oppressed and we have been assaulted from all sides through our centuries of existence as a country. And we shall always be as long as Jesus Christ tarries. We will have to promote our values amidst a crazy and sinful world, and we ourselves are sinners. And so we need to pray for wisdom that our president will know, indeed, just how to respond to this crisis. And so we want to pray for the comfort of the bereaved and for wisdom for our president and for all of his advisors. But thirdly, my dear friends, let me encourage you to pray for world peace and for justice. You know, when something like this happens, we, of course, are shocked. We are very sorrowful. And then we are, as the president said, quietly angry, and sometimes not so quietly. And especially when we look at those isolated places around the world where some peoples are even parading and dancing in the streets with joy because thousands of our people have lost their lives and our great monuments, our buildings have been destroyed. And so it provokes anger within us. Well, there's a certain aspect of anger that is righteous indignation, and the Lord speaks of it. In fact, David speaks of it because he, too, was oppressed on many occasions and even assaulted unjustly by the king himself. And David wrote a psalm, Psalm 10, that goes this way. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunt down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. He is haughty, and your laws are far from him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble. His mouth is full of curses and lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent, watching in secret for his victims. He lies in wait like a lion in cover. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. He says to himself, God has forgotten. He covers his face and never sees. This is the description that David gives to some of his enemies. Does it sound familiar? But then listen to what David says to the Lord. Arise, Lord, lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evil man. Call him to account for his wickedness, that would not be found out. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, in order that man, who is of the earth, may terrify no more. Dear friends, there's a careful balance we have to strike between not seeking to take into our own hands the revenge that belongs to the Lord alone. The Lord says He will avenge. Revenge is in His hands, not in ours. And on the other hand, as responsible citizens, not only of our country, but around the world, of promoting true peace, which comes through justice. And so I want to suggest that our president has been wise so far in seeking to promote peace in the world and seeking to make an appropriate response to an attack which is against not only New York and Washington, not only against America, but against free democratic people around the world. For those of us who have, throughout this past week, wondered how in the world somebody could do such a despicable act, all we have to do is to look into our own souls. Have there not been times, my dear friends, when you have been so angry with someone that you've wanted to wreak vengeance on them and even escalate the violence by doing something worse to them than they did to you? Well, I have. I've had those thoughts. And I can certainly understand, because we are all sinners. But when we do sin against society, then there needs to be a just reaction from those who are responsible authorities. So let's pray for our president that he will do that which indeed promotes justice around the world. Just this past week, in his initial statements, our president has said that those who harbor such criminals should be considered in the same way as those who actually commit the crimes. And I think this is a step up from what our policy has been internationally in years past. But it seems to me to be appropriate in a day when we live in a global village. Our world is a lot smaller than it used to be. And therefore, our rules of engagement and international law certainly must be carefully reconsidered to be sure that justice is indeed meted out around the world best that we have anything to do with it. Let us pray for our president as he seeks to build an international coalition and to build an international legal system and justice system which can prosecute cases such as this one, as we did at the conclusion of World War II. So let us pray for a new system of justice to come upon the earth. And here's the reason: that as peace flows to all the nations around the world, civil peace, legal peace, then the gospel can all the more abound in these countries. And that is our key concern. So we want to pray for comfort for those who have been bereaved and for those who have lost their loved ones. We want to pray for our president and other leaders, those in authority, that God may give them wisdom during these days to lead us all. And we want to pray for world peace and for international justice and for the Lord to be pleased to use the responses of the United States of America to promote true justice and not simply revenge, personal or national revenge. Thirdly, my dear friends, I'm convinced that the Lord, who is sovereign over all events in history, has designed and allowed these things to happen for our welfare as well. You know, when Jesus Christ came to this world, he had a tremendous message of the lordship of himself over all creation. And he came proclaiming the kingdom of God. And he said that the appropriate response to the coming of his kingdom was that all men and women, boys and girls everywhere, would repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe. And I am convinced, as surely as I'm sitting here today, that God would use this in our personal hearts and lives to be people who really trust him with all of our hearts, and who would repent and turn from those things which ensnare us and keep us from knowing him at the deepest level possible. We read from Psalm 46, "Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, I will not fear." Why? because God is my refuge and my strength. The World Trade Center is not my refuge and my strength. The Pentagon cannot be my refuge and my strength. America cannot be my refuge and my strength. Only the Lord Almighty, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, He is my refuge and strength. And there are these special moments in our lives when disaster strikes, great disappointments, financial struggles, or the loss of someone through death, where we are severely tested as to what we really believe and tested as to the one in whom we really believe. And isn't it interesting that the attacks that came upon us hit the Pentagon, the fortress of America, and hit the very symbol of our economic prosperity in New York with the Twin Towers? And what God, I'm convinced, is saying to us, look, don't trust in those things. We could not have believed that those buildings could have been attacked so viciously. We could not have believed that within one morning, both towers on the south end of Manhattan Island could simply disappear from the sky. But they can. And they do sometimes. And the Lord is simply saying, trust me. Do not trust what you can do. Don't trust your physical strength. Don't trust your health. Don't trust your happiness in this life. Trust in me. You know, it was a great and awesome tragedy to see the USA Today newspaper on Wednesday with men and women standing in the windows of the towers in New York just before the building collapsed. And here is a picture of people in total despair, having nowhere to turn and facing destruction. And it is a picture of what awaits any of us who have not found our true strength in Jesus Christ. There is coming a day of destruction in which everything that we trusted will be removed from us. So be sure, dear friends, that we trust in the Lord and not in America and in our strength. And I have to say, that has been the key to America's strength when we have been at our best in the past, is that we've not trusted in ourselves. We have looked to the Lord in prayer. I was pleased that people from all over the country, and yes, even around the world, gathered to pray last Tuesday. Hundreds of people came into this church to pray and are continuing to pray. And is that not what the Lord wants from us? And as we trust in the Lord, let us be sure that at the same time we are turning away from any of those false gods in our lives, any of those idols which have gripped our hearts and which are controlling our lives. This, too, is part of God's design when His people in the past have experienced real disasters. A disaster that occurred to God's people in times past that actually was much more profound than the one that happened in New York City this past week was in the city of Jerusalem. The year was around 586 B.C., and the Chaldeans, a very bloodthirsty military force, had come into Jerusalem, having already besieged her, and had sacked Jerusalem and had savaged the people and their children. And we are told that one stone was not left upon another. The whole city was destroyed. Jeremiah was a prophet in Jerusalem in those days, and he preached a sermon that is recorded for us in a book called Lamentations, which is well named, isn't it? And listen to these words of Jeremiah as he speaks about this greatest disaster that had occurred to the people in the Old Testament. Jeremiah says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. So he's saying the Lord is faithful no matter what happens to us. But then listen to what Jeremiah says we should do. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both calamities and good things come? Why should any living man complain when punished for his sins? Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Jeremiah is saying, I trust in the Lord. His compassions never fail. And yet in this test that is coming upon us, it is now our sacred obligation to search our own hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us and turn to Him. Turn away from our sin and turn toward Him. The Lord Jesus said a similar thing when referring to an event many years later, of course, when a tower in Siloam had fallen, very similar to the tower in New York, and had killed 18 people. And some of the people were speculating about whether these people were killed because of their own sin. And the Lord Jesus said, no, they're no more sinful than the rest of us. But then he said, I tell you, unless you repent, you too will all perish. And so the Lord is saying that one of the benefits that comes to us in the midst of deep affliction is that we can search our hearts, see if there be any wicked way in us, ask for the Lord's help to deliver us from these things, and to turn from them and trust in Him. I rarely get this opportunity to talk just to you, apart from being in the pulpit at Second Presbyterian Church. But for my friends throughout the city and the Mid-South area who listen to us regularly, I just want to say to you, no matter where you are or what your circumstances are, would you trust in the Lord? And I want to pray for you that that would happen in your life. Turn from your sin and trust in Him today, and He will indeed be merciful and compassionate upon you. Before we pray, let me say one more thing. There are, of course, very strong reasons for our country to be suspecting those who are in the Mideast, who may belong to various terrorist groups, to hold them accountable for this great disaster. And as I have said earlier, I do believe that everyone who perpetrated this evil should be brought to justice. That's the right and good thing to happen. But my dear friends, let us not be guilty of labeling any groups who are merely ethnic or national groups for this responsibility. I pray regularly, as do many of our people, and perhaps you do too, for the 1 billion people in our world who are in the Muslim religion. And I believe with all my heart that unless people trust in Jesus Christ alone, that they have no hope of spending eternal life in heaven. And part of my task as pastor of this church and member of this community and member of this world is to seek to promote the kingdom of God around the world that people may be saved. And my dear friends, many, many Muslims are turning to faith in Jesus Christ. Just last Sunday, in one of our church plants here in Memphis, Tennessee, we baptized a man who is a Muslim and who has come to faith in Jesus Christ. This is our hope. And so we pray for the lost around the world, and especially those who would be involved in such an evil act, that they may be won to faith in Jesus Christ and spend eternity with all of God's people who are trusting in Him. Let us pray together that God would answer our prayers for these important prayer requests. Gracious God, our Father, who comforts those who are in any affliction and who graciously answers our prayers for relief and for consolation, we do ask You to grant that comfort to the many thousands of people throughout our country who have lost loved ones in these recent days. Gracious Father, who is the Lord of all the nations, we also pray that You would give great wisdom to President Bush, to Vice President Cheney, to Secretary Powell and Rumsfeld, to those who are close advisors of the President. Grant them wisdom to do what is right and good and honoring to You as a response to this disaster. And Lord, we pray for world peace and justice, that those who have perpetrated international evil would be brought to justice through international cooperation and international law and international justice. Not that our vengeance would be satisfied, but that Your perfect justice would be displayed in the earth. And Lord, we pray that you would so work in our hearts that we may trust in you alone and believe that you are our refuge and strength, and that we would turn from all of our wicked ways. And Father, our prayer is that many millions around the world would do the same, and that you would be pleased to use this great disaster at great cost to many people to advance your cause and your glory around the world. This is our prayer, O Lord, because Jesus Christ is our greatest desire, and we would ask that in every way he alone be exalted. We ask this in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen.